Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whom we truly have always reason to give thanks, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of John. We read from chapter 6, verses 25 through 35. The setting for this set of verses is the day after Jesus miraculously fed the 5,000. When they found him, that is Jesus, on the other side of the sea, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them, "Amen, amen, or truly, truly, I tell you, you are not looking for me because you saw the miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not continue to work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." So they said to him, "What should we do to carry out the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." Then they asked him, "So what miraculous sign are you going to do that we may see it and believe you? What miraculous sign are you going to perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, just as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I tell you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the real bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said to him, "give us this bread all the time." "I am the bread of life," Jesus told them. "The one who comes to me will never be hungry, and the one who believes in me will never be thirsty." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to picture yourself in front of your Thanksgiving meal that you are very likely going to eat at some point today. Picture the turkey, or the ham if you're one of those people. The potatoes, the stuffing, all those sides. Think of the pies. It's probably going to be a pretty big table full of food, right? Think of how it smells. Think of how good that food is going to taste. Now imagine standing in front of that huge spread of food when you start to complain, "We really don't have anything to eat." Sounds crazy, right? Who would think such a thing? Who would say such a thing? Well, we would. We have an example of it in our text for Thanksgiving Day today, but it also is an illustration of a problem that often plagues us human beings, especially those of us who, like us, have been given so much. The problem is entitlement. We've been given so much, we have so much, and so many incredible blessings in every area of our life that we begin to just expect them. Just assume they're always going to be there and always should be there. And if they're not there, or if things change, we begin to get resentful. It's not what we're expecting. We have to have these things, or we ought to have these things. We can look at our closets that are so full of clothes that you couldn't wedge one more shirt in there and say things like, "I have nothing to wear." We can open our fridges and our freezers, and because it's not exactly what we want to eat at that particular time, we can say, "There's nothing to eat in this house." We can go out to our driveways, look at our perfectly good working vehicle and say, "Oh, I hate this old car." We have been blessed with so much and so many things that we begin to expect it. We begin to think that we are just entitled to it. That attitude of entitlement, when it sets in, we begin to be complacent. We can get very complainy. When we don't have all the things that we used to have, or don't have all the things that we want, or if we don't get them exactly the way we want them, when we want them, we can get pretty upset. And perhaps the worst thing about having this attitude of entitlement is that it can cause us to be pretty much completely unthankful, ungrateful, unwilling to give thanks to anyone for anything. Ironically, it can be hard for us human beings to be thankful when we already have everything. Instead of that attitude of entitlement, we pray that the Lord would move us and work in our hearts to give us that attitude of gratitude, of thankfulness each day, and especially today, as we set aside a day literally to give thanks to the Lord for all of His blessings, for all the gracious work He does in our lives. In our sermon text for today, you may have noticed that the crowd was very unsatisfied. They come across as a very entitled group of people. They actually ask Jesus, So what miraculous sign are you going to do so that we may see it and believe you? What miraculous sign are you going to perform? Really? Did they not remember what happened the day before? He fed 5,000, that's just the men, so probably more like 10 to 15,000 people, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. They didn't just get a bite each. He fed them until they were full, and they picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. And yet they come to him asking for another miraculous sign, more miraculous signs. Prove who you are, Jesus. What's wrong with these people? Didn't they know that this was the Savior? This was the Son of God that God sent to them to save them from their sins, not to feed their bellies and give them a bunch of magic tricks to entertain them and cater to their every whim. How about showing some gratitude, people? How about realizing that right in front of you is the Savior of the world, God Himself in human flesh? Well, in our text, Jesus not only shows them the solution to their attitude of entitlement, He also redirects their priorities. And that's sort of the way He changes their attitudes, by redirecting their priorities. When this crowd demanded food, what did Jesus do? He points them to spiritual food, truths about Himself as the Savior from sin that God had sent. From verse 27 of our text, He says, "Do not continue to work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on Him God the Father has placed His seal of approval." When they gave in to their natural work righteous attitudes and actions, they said, "Well, what do we do to gain eternal life, to find favor with God?" Jesus points them to believing in Him. In verse 29, Jesus answers them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the One whom He sent." When these Jewish listeners asked Jesus to prove Himself by giving them bread from heaven, just like the children of Israel ate that manna as they wandered through the desert on the way to the promised land, Jesus again turns their hearts and their minds to the spiritual food and the true God, Jesus Christ Himself. He says, "For the bread of God is the One who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." The true bread of life was Jesus. He was standing right in front of them. When the people asked Jesus then, "Sir, give us this bread all the time," Jesus plainly tells them, "I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will never be hungry, and the one who believes in me will never be thirsty." By having faith in Jesus, they would never be hungry or thirsty again, at least not in spiritual things, and not in things of eternal significance. Well, how about us? Do we see that many times we are like this crowd in our text, putting physical things and physical needs and physical wants above spiritual needs, spiritual wants? Do we find ourselves falling into this entitlement mindset with both the many material blessings Jesus has given us, but also with the spiritual blessings He has given us? Do we always look to Him and view Him as our loving Savior and show Him the gratitude and thanks for the many gifts that He has given us, especially that gift of eternal life with Him in heaven, which He gave to us by giving up His own life on that cross? Perhaps the problem may be that we aren't feeling too blessed this Thanksgiving. Maybe we don't feel like we've been given everything. Maybe today is just plain hard to see the gifts that God has given you. Maybe there's so much pain or grief in your life right now that you're overwhelmed to the point where you don't see or can't see just how truly blessed you are. Or maybe our problem is, like so many people today, we've been blessed so often in so many ways for so long that we just don't like the look of our gifts and blessings anymore. We'd rather have something else, or we'd rather have just a little bit more. So how then can we overcome that attitude of entitlement and apathy toward these great gifts that God has given us? How can we have a true spirit of thanksgiving in a world that is so full of unthankful people? A world that teaches us you should always strive for just a little more stuff. Always climb a little higher and a little harder for a little more status. Well, the answer is found where you know it's always found. The answer is found in the one who is the giver of all good gifts, in Jesus. He can and will work in our hearts and minds a better recognition and a better appreciation for his gifts. Jesus is the one who can give us a heart like King David, who wrote these words in Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Forget not all his benefits. That is David's Old Testament way of saying, count your blessings. May the Lord move our hearts to not forget, but to remember, to realize and to recognize all his benefits, to recognize God's blessings in all their many forms, and to give thanks for every one of them, even when it feels like or seems like it's impossible for us to do that right now. To recognize and realize some of the blessings that we have taken for granted every day. Did you have warm water in the shower this morning? Do you have electricity in your home? Did you have food? Do you have food waiting for you? Do you have a vehicle that runs, a home to live in? We also ask the Lord to help us focus on what we do have, rather than being so focused on the thing that we do not have or the things that we do not have. I sometimes have used the illustration of the fact that God has given us a treasure like a gigantic pot of gold, but there's three or four pieces of coal in it, and we stare at those pieces of coal and say, what's with the pieces of coal? And completely ignore the fact he's given us an incredible treasure. Be thankful for some of the things that we normally would not think to be thankful for. May God move our hearts, especially in this area of our lives, to be thankful for even the difficult times. Those are the times God uses to make us grow. Be thankful for our limitations. God uses those to help us improve in our, not just our physical lives, but in our spiritual lives. Be thankful for even the times we have made mistakes and we have failed. God uses them to teach us valuable lessons and to turn us to him in repentance and in faith, to turn to him for forgiveness. It can be easier at times to be thankful when times are good, but to be thankful even when times are bad, even when there are setbacks and disappointments, that is an attitude only God and his Spirit can work in us. And remember, God has promised to work all things, even the bad things, out for our good, our true spiritual and eternal good. And as hard as it is to be thankful, we can be thankful for our difficulties, because God can and does turn them into blessings. As believers in Christ, when we look at our lives, we can truly say that we have been given everything. Everything we need. Physically, materially, and most importantly, spiritually. And God hasn't just given us what we need. He's given us far beyond that, hasn't he? He's given us far beyond what we could even ask or desire. So on this day of thanks and always, may we always, through new eyes each day, see that God has blessed us in ways that we don't deserve, in ways we could never imagine, and in ways maybe that we've forgotten or neglected to thank Him. May we each remember, with the Spirit's help, to remember most of all the blessing we have in Jesus, and to see Jesus for who He really is, the bread of life. We have partaken of that bread of life. We've partaken of Him by faith, and we've had our everlasting hunger filled. May we now be truly thankful to our God and Savior, who deserves our thanksgiving for everything. Amen. You may remain seated. We continue with our sermon hymn, "We Praise You, O God." It's printed in your bulletin.